World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yep. I believe they lied to us, folks. I hate to tell you that. I think they lied to us. I'm going to dive into a little bit of that here today. You remember this. The Bible tells us that you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, shall make you free, because the truth by itself isn't going to make you free. And we really kind of pride ourselves. Am I allowed to use that word here in Pride Month? We kind of pride ourselves here at Coach Dave Live of digging in and touching those hot wires that nobody else will touch. I'm going to touch one of those again here this morning. But before I do, I just got to say, I got to tip my cap to Bobby Lee and the great event and Linda and all of the great event we had down in Kentucky. We had about, I don't know, maybe 50 of us that showed down there and heard the most unbelievable, about 3 hours, at least 3 hours, could have been longer than that, of Dr. Doug Frank explained to us exactly what happened in the election. It was, I'm telling you, folks, it was just absolutely profound. The statistics and all that stuff that Dr. Frank has in regards to actual voter rolls and how they've lied to us about it, and the fact that they're going to do it to us again. If we don't wake up and understand that they're going to do it to us again, the elections are rigged. Who knows how long they've been rigged, but they've certainly been rigged for quite a while. And I don't want to get into that here this morning because it's really not really what the issue is that I want to discuss. But man, oh man, that was a powerful thing. So Bobby, I thank you for doing that. And Linda and OJ and Dorita and all the wonderful people that showed up down there. We had a wonderful time. I can't forget a old buddy, John Brockoff, who came down there too. I slept on the floor in the hotel and it did wonders for my back. I've been having real back issues. I don't know what it is. Hip issues. And I'm going to sleep on that hard floor. Man, I woke up. I'm a new guy. So praise the Lord. Thanks for all of you. And Bobby, I don't know if Bobby's in here. Bobby, when's the next one, Bob? We're having Dr. Frank again in Pennsylvania. Pull the schedule up there real quick, Spencer. For those of you with the Patriot Party news, folks, look, we're doing stuff all the time, and you really ought to try to get involved with this if you can. And we go all across the nation. We're going to have another thing with Dr. Frank on June what's the date there, baby? I can't even see. Oh, June 29th, free event, Doug Frank, Hamburg, Pennsylvania. We'd love for you to be part of that. So that's another thing that's on our list. And then scroll back up there away from Dr. Frank, because we got the big event coming up here, Coach Dave Live, the national event's coming up here in 2 weeks. Some of you out there have told me you're coming, but come on, register, will you? Will you please register so we know how many hot dogs to buy and how many hamburgers to buy and all that kind of stuff? I promise you this, friends, if you've never been to one of our huddles and you come to this one, this will be one of the most life-changing things you've ever been part of. And I mean that because you're going to be around stay right there with that. You're going to be around like-minded people. You're not going to have to be explaining why you believe what you believe in. These people all get it. They're all awake. You're going to hear from Sheila Holm, Flip Benham, the guy who baptized Norma McCorvey. Attorney Tom Renz is going to explain to us exactly what's going on. It's going to be a wonderful time. So, hey, get in there, register as quickly as you can. And please register even if you don't know if you're coming yet. You say, well, Coach, why would I register if I'm not coming? Because then somebody else will use your ticket if you can't make it. So, man, got a lot of good stuff going on. A lot of good stuff going on. So let me dive into it here real quickly. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth. Everybody learn that song or that prayer? That was one of the first things I learned when I was a little Catholic boy in catechism. They taught me the Our Father and the Hail Mary because I had to use both of those when I went to confession. But it never ever made sense to me because for the most part here in America, here in the world, we think heaven is a place that we're going. we're going to heaven. What the Bible says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Where? Where? On earth, as it is in heaven. What? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what those of us who carry the name of Christ, we have to ask ourselves, is God's kingdom here on earth? By the way, first of all, the kingdom of God is within you. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry, I'm quoting some scriptures right out of the Bible. I'm sorry I don't have them lined up so you can read them. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. This kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. A spiritual kingdom that comes and manifests in the natural. And when the kingdom of God comes within you, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is within, right? Kingdom of God is within. He said, it's expedient that I go away, because when I go away, he that was with you shall be in you, meaning the Holy Spirit comes. And we will come to do what? What did it tell us in Genesis? To subdue the earth, to subdue it. Jesus isn't coming back, friends, for a broken down, beat up place. He's coming back and establishing a kingdom that's already here. Otherwise, was he lying to us when he taught us that prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. First thing he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And if we don't understand that the kingdom of God is within us, and that we're supposed to live it out, that all these things that we see going on is nothing more than a battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of these wicked people, kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of God. If we don't understand it, what the battle we're fighting, then we're not going to get involved. And when I came to that realization, it radically transformed my Christianity. Can I be honest with you? Of course, I'm always honest with you. People thought I was crazy. In fact, they still think I'm crazy. Is it just me, or do your friends think you're crazy when you start talking about COVID and masks and all that stuff? Do people think you're crazy? When you start saying stuff that is obviously very, very clear to you that something is wrong, do people call you conspiracy theorists? Where did they hear that? Well, I want to show you a little clip. I don't really know who this is, all right? How did they get us? How did they do this to us? Because again, this is attacking the kingdom of God. Somebody sent me this morning, and I looked and looked and looked to find who this person was and where this was presented. And I found it was done in 2023 someplace. But this is a great clarification of how we got in this mess. It's about 4 minutes, 4 minutes and 3 seconds. Folks, there are two kingdoms in conflict here. The clash of two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan here on this planet. Now, wait a minute, because people say that Satan is the god of this world. Folks, he's the prince. He's not the king. He's the prince of darkness. He's the prince of the power of the air. Now, I don't know about you, but where I live, a king is above a prince. Satan has no authority here anymore on the earth other than the confusion of the saints who believe he's the God of this world, which he is, but he's not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when Jesus went to the cross, what did he do? He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He claimed them back. He took away all power and authority from the evil one. And the modern American church does not get it. We're to be establishing his kingdom here on earth. But instead, we talk about where we're going. We're going to go to heaven. No, 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 no. It's the kingdom of God right now is inside me. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry I don't have the scripture to show you. Trust me on this one, okay? So this is a great exposition. It's 4 minutes of how the enemy has deceived us, friends, Christians, pastors who think we're not supposed to get involved in the culture. Can somebody tell me how you can be the salt of the earth and the light of the world if you don't get involved in the culture? How does that even work? But that's what they've told us. We don't get involved with politics because why? We're soon going to be taken out of here. And then we're going to be brought back. Well, until then, he's establishing his kingdom here on earth. And remember when Jesus was tempted those 40 days. And the Satan shows comes up and he says, look, it's all yours. You can have all this stuff if you just bow your knee to me. Jesus didn't do it. And at the end of it, he took the keys right from the devil. He said, all power has been given unto me. And I give it unto you. It's Matthew 6, I think, although I could believe. But the church doesn't get it. We don't have a kingdom mentality. So sit back for about 4 minutes. I'm going to show you exactly what they've done to us and how they've done it. Go ahead, Spencer.
The final goal is to eradicate humanity as we know it. Once you understand the final destination, it becomes much easier to look back and identify the psychological conditioning, the biological tampering, the cultural grooming, and the educational prepping that we have been subjected to for decades in preparation to making us accept a post-human future. It takes a lot of physical and psychological abuse to get an intelligent species like ours to agree to its own extinction. Most, if not all, that has transcended in the last 60 years was designed to get us closer to accepting such a dystopian reality. Whether you care to accept it or not, we live in a hyper-controlled matrix where our perception of reality is meticulously planned, managed, and executed in order to control and steer us in whichever direction they wish. And the direction is a post-human world. For this, they first needed to destabilize, dehumanize, and demoralize humanity through every means possible. The destruction of the nuclear family, children being indoctrinated by the state, abortion, the eradication of God and spirituality from education, life in mega cities and away from nature, toxic food, air and water, social media, replacing real human connection and interaction, engineered financial crisis and taxation, endless wars and massive migration, stress, anxiety, depression, drugs and alcohol, constant fear-mongering, moral relativism as the new religion. And I could go on and on about how humanity has been influenced and forced to move away from all the things that give us strength, security, purpose, and meaning.
Reason. Folks, clash of two kingdoms. Clash of two kingdoms. Satan's actively involved in trying to destroy a kingdom that the Lord has already established. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? God has already established his kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he's already done it. And Satan's coming in. He's trying to undermine it. He's trying to destroy it. Keep going.
A weak, immoral, disconnected, ignorant, and unhealthy population is an easy target for the next stage, the creation of an entire generation of androgynous beings. Masculinity is under attack psychologically, culturally, and biologically. Women are being replaced in sports, entertainment, and politics by men pretending to be women. And children are being indoctrinated at school to think that gender is a choice. The transgender movement is not a grassroots movement. It comes from the top. It has nothing to do with people's freedom of expression, sexuality, or civil rights. It's an evil psyop with a clear agenda to get us closer to transhumanism by making us question the most fundamental notion of human identity, our gender. If you don't know who you are, if you already identify as a hybrid between a man and a woman, you will be easily convinced to become a hybrid between human and machine. Gender ideology is the 2 + 2 = 5 from George Orwell's 1984 dystopian novel. It's the final test to see whether we will follow the most absurd party line towards our own extinction. But 2 + 2 = 4. And no matter how you choose to dress, call yourself, or change your physique, will not change that. The sad reality, though, is that in the gaslighting process to get us closer to a post-human future, they have mentally and physically harmed an increasing number of children and young people, and it's only getting worse. This must be stopped.
Boom.
This must be stopped. Folks, do you see what they're doing to us? Do you understand that when Satan tempted Jesus and Jesus rejected it and Jesus went to the cross, which, by the way, for this purpose was the Son of 1 John 3. Well, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And what we see playing out in front of us is that battle between Satan and Christ, and the battle has already been won. It's our job to walk it out and live it out, okay? Look, I'm going to throw some stuff at you real quickly. Bear with me. Spencer, pull up for me. Oh, my goodness. What is it? Sorry, folks. Bear with me here just a second. Pull up the second one. I didn't number it. That's why I can't see it. The curious case of our consenting clergy. If you watch this show regularly or part of the queue regularly, you know that I blame the clergy. I blame the clergy. Remember the black-robed regiment? They overthrew the freaking greatest power in the world. They overthrew them. They overthrew England, the king. They overthrew it. They established a new kingdom of America. And what happened? Wow. Satan's been working to undermine it ever since. The problem is obvious. It's thus a curiosity as to why it exists. Simply stated, most of American Christian leadership profess an allegiance to Christ, our King, but they're committed to what he wants down here on earth. Then why are these Christian leaders collectively silent in the public square regarding what's going on down here? Why do they offer no outcry, let alone any organized resistance, as our king's enemies overrun his earthly dominions, and as usurpers substitute their dominion and law for what was once God's law and dominion in our country? Did they forget that Christ claimed all authority here on earth? Vinny, give me a boom. I'm feeling I need a boom, Vinny. Huh? Did they forget that Christ claimed all authority down here on earth?
Boom.
They passively allow, without loud dissent in the public square, the overthrow of Christian dominion and the culture that faithful Christians historically established here in America, right here on this very soil where Christian dominion was bought with blood and tears, and where faithful Christians explicitly established Christ's authority, following Christ's proclamation, they had all authority down here on earth. After all, the principles of the law have always declared that silence is consent. Today, the church in America is not much concerned with the kingship of Christ, his kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven, or the practical application of his law down here on earth. Having little concern for God's law and its application down on earth, the American church has lost the foundation for what were once not only Christian law, Christian ethics, Christian culture, but has also lost political and physical safety for itself and for its children. I got to stop some. Somebody give me a boom. Maybe Vinny's asleep. But is this, huh? Is this what we've been singing here for 7 years?
Boom.
Thanks, Vinny. The lack of concern for the kingship of Christ, his kingdom, or his law by the average Christian is because the Christian leadership in America is not much concerned with these things. If they were concerned, there would be such a loud voice pro-Christendom in the public square speaking to oppose the overthrow of Christ's rightful kingdom, rightful rule and law down here, that no one could ignore it. But it has properly been said that culture is nothing more than religion externalized and made explicit. Culture is the physical manifestation of a religion. Since modern American Christians have established no separate, tangible, explicit culture of their own, but have made peace with and comfortably meshed with and have no visible conflict with the secular anti-God culture, why does the current culture in America, what does it say about the Christian religion in America today? Are we the salt of the earth, folks, or not? Are we the light of the world or not? It says American Christianity is largely irrelevant to life down here. It says it is a faith for the dead, mainly for when you die and an emotional support in the meantime. Modern American Christianity teaches no duty whatsoever to build a tangible Christendom anywhere down here on earth. Yet in history, Christians were very different. They understood that Christ's message was all about his kingdom, and that it was his great concern. After all, the very first thing Christ taught us to pray was for the establishment of his kingdom here on earth. By the way, I believed that before I read this, right? It's the first thing he said. Did Christ teach us to pray for the kingdom to come on earth if he had no intention of bringing it about? The kingdom on earth can only be a tangible Christendom where things would be done as they are in heaven, where obedience to his law would be kept, applied, and then guarded with great joy by those faithful to him. The religion of historic Christians produced an external and explicit culture of freedom, justice, safety, order, science, invention, economic advancement, etc., because their religion applied to all these things. Their religion produced a culture that implemented God's law on a practical level over all things tangible and achieved the highest level of justice of any law system ever established. This was the glorious heritage of the Christian people, their very own common law. They understood what Henry Van Til so accurately expressed. A people's religion comes to expression in its culture, and Christians can be satisfied with nothing less than a Christian organization of society. Now that is a faith for life as well as for death. I'm going to pause there because I'm running out of time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the average church that you come in contact with bears no responsibility for what's going on in the culture. They take their hands off it. They say we don't mix the secular and the sacred here. We don't mix religion and politics. And as a result, Satan and his minions are overrunning this once great Christian nation where they said Christ was King. He wasn't just Lord. He's King. The kingdom of Christ. Man, I feel this deeply. I'm telling you.
Amen.
And I still think that those days, rather than evacuation, what if we returned to Christian indoctrination? What if we began to once again teach those Christian values to our children, as it says in Psalm 78, and they would teach it to their children, who would teach it to their children, who would teach it to their children. We call that heritage. We call that tradition. Now we got big fat women being crowned Miss Whatever. I'll show you that when we come back. Now we got men being crowned Miss where whatever state that was in. Transgender men dressed like cross-dressers, winning awards, and the church remains silent. We'll be right back. Hang in there with us. Thanks, folks. Okay, so thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Huh? What's going on? Why aren't we doing everything we can to expand that kingdom? Come on in, Gino. What do you think?
Okay, I want you to stop and think. What is the main makeup of a man and a woman? Your DNA.
That's right.
They're trying to change our DNA.
Of course they are.
This vaccine, it's a messenger RNA. And when they control your DNA, that's what Satan did to Eve when he seduced her in the Garden of Eden. He wanted to change the DNA or the bloodline.
That's right.
To Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right.
That's what they're trying to do to us today.
Because life is in the blood, is it not, Gino? Isn't
Amen.
That what the Bible teaches us? Huh?
Amen. It's word DNA.
Is it true that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness? There's something about that blood. And if you would notice what's going on in America today, what are they attacking? Why, they'd be attacking the blood, wouldn't they? They'd
Amen.
Be attacking the blood. Vaccinations. Oh, come on, folks.
Amen.
Wake up and understand the war that's raging before us. And what is the church focused on? Well, the church is focused on, I hate to tell you, feel-good messages, prosperity messages, and evacuation messages. And if we could look around and understand that if we could once again build the kingdom of God, if churches, every church where you live, if they made the determination that they were going to come together and they were at, pick a town. I'm going to pick Heath, Ohio, who, by the way, just won the state baseball championship. I used to coach at Heath. Way to go, Bulldogs. Good for the Bulldogs. Could the city of Heath, with the influence of all the churches and all the pastors, could they establish Christian rules in their community? Well, the obvious answer is yes. Why don't they? Why don't they? Because it's this mistreat, this misteaching, this lying of the enemy that we are not supposed to mix religion and politics. We're not supposed to get in the culture. Although Christ said that we're the salt of the earth. The salt of the earth. What do you mean? You put salt on it, it invades inside of it. It changes everything it touches. And the church has refused to be the salt of the earth. Jeff Klein, come on in, Jeff. Jeff's salty. Jeff's the salt of the earth.
Coach, you know, I've been saying for a long time now, we just stand up for our youth. I'm so sick and tired of this.
It's awful.
We just went through four nights of a tent meeting on a Sunday morning a couple nights ago. I'm hearing the message, and it's a great message. It was great, but it all lies on problems that the churchgoers are having. I mean, these people sitting in this tent, 200 of them, they've been going to church for the last 20, 30, 40 years.
Amen. Amen.
Why do you have problems? I'm sitting there shaking my head. And just all the stuff we talk about and what we do in the streets. So
you have a different mindset than they have, Jeff. You
see,
that's where your frustration comes from.
Yeah.
You have a different mindset. You see it so clearly, and you ask yourself, why can't they see it?
Well, here's what happened. Listen to this. Just give me about a minute to explain this. So I finally, at the end of that night, a couple nights ago, they're ready to close up, did a couple songs, ready, all hearts cleared. I'm like, no. I raised my hand. Some of them are like, oh, no.
Here we go.
So I just got done watching a few people come up to little altars they had set up under the tent. But I looked right closest to me was a little boy up there praying. Mm. And it was actually the grandson of the pastor from Alabama. I walked up and I said, I pointed to that area where he was because now there's nobody up the altar. I looked over at the pastor and I said, how old's your grandson? He said, 9. I walked over, and right where that kid was knelt, right close to me on that end of the bench, I went over there, and I ain't kidding you. I walked over, I took my hand, and I was like, I smacked that altar. I said, this is a problem. These young kids, the future they have is going to be destroyed. And I said, these kids are scared. They're praying. I said, so I went into, 25 years coaching kids. I said, I'm sick of it. I am totally sick of it. Christians won't stand up for these kids. And I got done, wrapped it up, and they all applauded. And now these people don't applaud for nothing. You know what I mean? They just sit right there. They were all applauding. I walked over and sit down. And oh, my. So next couple of nights, every night I'm walking in the tent now, and the little kids in there, the little girls, they love Mary Jane to death. I mean, they're calling her grandma. You know what I mean? So now we're walking in for a couple of nights, and these kids are 10, 12, 13-year-old kids. Coming over to me and Mary Jane as soon as we walk into the tent, hugging us. And then a couple people told me a couple nights that, hey, I'm glad what you're doing to stand for these kids. They were all appreciative of it. You know what I mean? Didn't say, hey, I'll join you. So I'm telling you, Friday night.
I ain't joining you, but keep doing it, right?
Yeah, Friday night, bunch more up the altar. And there's the one little girl, Pastor Matt's granddaughter. She's 13. Oh, Kenzie. She is a sweetheart. She's been now bringing her saxophone to the car lot, and we're out by the bike path on Tuesday nights, and she's playing hymns on this saxophone. She got about 6 or 7 of them down. She's playing. Man, she is pumped. All of a sudden, she's up there praying, and usually what Pastor Matt and his wife do, they'll go up and ask somebody at the altar, anybody, kid, adult, you need me to pray with you? And if they say no, then they just walk away because they're just – up there thanking God or something, no problems. So he walked out. They walked up, checked with McKenzie, walked away, and I looked over, and Pastor Matt's standing there waiting, everybody's praying. Piano player still playing softly. He pointed over to me and Mary Jane. He looked at us because we're over, stage right on the end. That's where I always sit. And he stood over there, and he put his two fingers out and was pointing at me and Mary Jane. I looked at him like, us? I don't know what he wanted. And he pointed down to Kenzie. I'm like, oh, my. So me and Mary Jane get up there and go up. And she starts talking to McKenzie, asking what's going on. And she's crying. Said Satan's attacking her. And this girl is a strong Christian girl. She is bold. And she's crying. So Mary Jane prayed with her first. She prayed with her and hugged her. And then I looked at her. I'm on the inside of the altar. And I said, Kenzie, look at me. And she looked up at me And I give her that line you just used this morning. I said, Kenzie, you know what it says in the scripture? Satan is the prince of the air. She said, yeah. I said, what else does scripture say? That Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I said, don't you ever forget that. He has more power. I went through it with her a little bit, and then I prayed with her. And I'm telling you, she was so thankful. But she asked for me and Mary Jane. It's like, send them up here. I need them. I was like, it was an honor to pray with that little girl. You know what I mean?
Amen, amen, Jeff. So look, folks, this is exactly what we're talking about. Do we love our children or do we not love our children? Right? Jesus said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself into the deepest part of the ocean to mislead even one of these little ones that believe in this. Amen. And think of the stuff that we are teaching in our public schools, in the world in general, with the support, the financial support, and the amen of the Christian church. And see, they've got us boxed into Republican Democrats. So now you're now you identify your Christianity by whether you're a Republican, conservative, or whether you're, are you with me, friends? All of this is designed by the enemy to destroy the kingdom of God, which we are supposed to be advancing. Jack, come on in.
Yeah, just real quick. You mentioned Black Road Regiment, and it made me start thinking. I haven't thought, I just had a kind of an epiphany. You guys have already probably figured it out. But Black Road Regiment, and Tom and Sid and some of the pastors really did would qualify as that. Then why aren't we successful? And I looked up the number in a Black Road Regiment. It'd be, generally be 1,600. That's why we're not successful. We don't have a Black Robe Regiment. We have some Black Robe wearers, but we don't have a Black Robe Regiment. And that's what was going on back when that coin, that term was coined by feared that body of good men. But they were the Black Robe Regiment. They didn't name themselves. You can't pick up the mantle and say, I am a Black Robe Regiment. You are simply a member of the regiment. Is only a patrol today.
So, folks, what would happen if, I don't care what town, you pick whatever town right where you live, what if you took the responsibility that you were going to organize a, I don't know what you would call it, but you were going to get all the churches and all the pastors together, and you were going to launch a plan to reestablish God's kingdom in your town. How many pastors do you think you could get to come? And people say, well, coach, it's because of the 501c3, which is, you know, your tax-exempt status. Well, first of all, if your pastor is being controlled by his tax-exempt status, that's basically all you need to know, isn't it? Congress shall make no First Amendment, Spencer. First Amendment real quick. Because I'm going to try to figure out how we can dig deeper into this stuff. Because, folks, they have found all kinds of rights in the Constitution that certainly aren't there and have taken away rights that are there. But the First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Friends, do you understand? This is a right granted to the individual. If I say I am Coach Dave and I am a church, I have established a church, they can't prevent the free exercise thereof. Do you get that, friends? Do you understand that? You understand that? That the government has no authority over you as a Christian. And you say, well, you know what? I'm just going to withdraw from all that stuff because right here it says the establishment of the Congress shall make no law preventing me from establishing my religion. And my religion says I am not going to give one more cent or obedience to this wicked Luciferian government. But are we going to go there? Will people go there? See, that's what that, folks, that's what the American Revolution was fought over. It's exactly what it was fought over. Who is king? We come to the United States of America, and we don't have any king in America, but we act like we do. We follow the edicts of government. We follow the edicts of the president of the United States. We follow the edicts of the mayor. Not that we're supposed to be law, not be law-abiding citizens. That's not what I'm talking about. But you have to understand that your individual rights trump the authority of government. You get it? Do we get it? But see, this battle is going to be hard because we've already bowed our knee to this all-powerful government and given them authority and power they don't have. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
And if
the government is telling me I can't advance my faith, they have violated the first right granted to me by God, the freedom of freely exercising my faith. Church, when are we going to see it? When are we going to see it to understand that the government controls the American church? Come on in, Dale.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. I used this great opportunity yesterday at church, believe it or not, because the schools do not teach it, right? Nope. First off, that 49 of the 55 people who did sign the Constitution, guess what they were? The Declaration of Independence, I'm sorry. They were ordained ministers. They understood heavenly kingdom influence into our law right there. Right out of the gate, right there, that 49 men were ordained ministers in their community. They understood. We've lost that, Coach. We have so lost that.
Well, because again, Dale, we've lost it through the seminaries. They've been infiltrated. Remember, what did John F. Kennedy warn us about? Infiltration rather than invasion, right? And I think back to when I was teaching, I used to teach health and physical education at Mount Vernon when I first started teaching. I was teaching the health. And I can think back to stuff that I was teaching that was in that health book that now that I look back on it, I thought, what a bunch of malarkey. And I was teaching that simply because it said it in the book. Are you with me, friends? And so when they get control of the books, they get control of the science, when they become dictators of the science, then we end up in the mess that we are in where people obey the government over the Lord. Put the First Amendment back up there. Put it up there for me again. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion. Hey, anybody out there, hang on there with me. Somebody ask me this. Answer this for me. That First Amendment to the Constitution, who is that directed to?
The Catholics.
No, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant.
Well, let's just go back. The reason they worded it that way because of the strong Catholicism influence in England. When they said religion, that's what they meant because each state already had an established religion.
That's right. And so, Dale, here's the point I'm trying to make, folks. This amendment was written as a restriction on Congress.
Yep. Boom.
Congress shall make no law. Folks, it'd be like this. Let's say they made bread illegal. Well, the law would read, bakers shall make no bread. Congress makes laws, and they said Congress shall make no bread. Regarding what? Religion. Free. See, we like the establishment clause, don't we? The establishment of religion or the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press. So Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. Congress shall make no law respecting a law prohibiting the freedom of speech. Congress shall make no law respecting or abridging the freedom of speech. Congress shall make no law respecting the press. Congress shall make no law respecting control, the right of the people to peaceably assemble. And Congress shall make no law respecting a way to petition the government for redress of grievances. These are restrictions on government. Why? Because the kingdom of God's within. Huh? Hang on a minute. Did Jesus Christ follow the authority above him? You better ask yourself that question. First of all, Jesus, when he went and stood before Pilate said, don't you know I got the power to crucify you, got the power to set you free? Anybody know how Jesus responded? Jesus says, hey, dude, you ain't got no power over me unless the Lord gave it to you. You ain't got no power over me, dude. Sorry. You can say it all you want to. You don't have any power over me. And what did they get mad about? What did they get mad about? They didn't get mad that Jesus was going around healing people, converting them to Christianity. They didn't have any. They got mad that Jesus said, there's a new king in town. I'm the king. I'm the king. That's what made them mad. So we see the exact same thing going on in America today. If you challenge the king, you lose your head. That's where we are, friends. It's exactly what we're battling today. Amen. And the government has reached into the pulpit and into the church and has done what? It has programmed the pastors that they're not to be involved with the affairs of government. Hey, friends, how stupid is that? How stupid is that? And so we look around, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Now, friends, is it God's will that two men have anal sex? Would that be God's will? No. Would it be God's will that a little boy would have his dinger cut off? That would be no. Would it be God's will that America goes over in the Middle East and kills everybody that's not Jewish? No, that wouldn't be God's will. Would it be God? I could go on and on and on and on. But as soon as they told us that there was a separation between the church and state, there's a new king in America and it's government. Government is king. We're government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And the restraints on government is us, not the courts, not the Supreme Court. No, no, no. That's what is that word I'm looking for? That's when you have sex with somebody's family member. What do they call that? They call that incest. Our government is incestuous. The Republicans pick the judges. The Democrats pick the judges. And then they take the case before the judge that they already picked. It's incestuous. And so what do we have to do? We have to do what Jesus Christ said. No! You have no power over me. Can I promise you this? It's going to cost you something, baby. It's going to cost you your head maybe at some point. But the reality of it is your children and my grandchildren are going to live in what it is that we leave them here. Psalm 78. That's the battle that's raging before us. And can I tell you the truth? Of course, I always do. Church couldn't care less. Huh? No, churches having seminars on your best life now and how to be happy and slappy and all this kind of stuff. And churches saying, let's not get involved and love your neighbors, yourself. When Jesus Christ declared war on the enemy. Kings of the earth set themselves in the ruler. Psalm 2, put it up there. Put it up for the slow learners for me, Spencer. The kings of this earth have set themselves. And the rulers take counsel. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Because the kings of the earth set themselves. They get control. And the rulers talk together, conspire together. And who are they conspiring together against? Well, they're conspiring together against the Lord and his church. Can't you read? That's the battle. Good versus evil, right versus wrong. Kingdom of God against the king. By the way, the devil's already defeated. All we got to do is walk it out, man. Walk it out. Stand up and be counted. That's all we have to do. But the church won't get involved. That is my greatest frustration. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm an honest guy, right? Huh? Boy, do my antenna come up when somebody starts talking to me about their pastor. Oh, woo, I got all kinds of stop signs going up because I know for the most part what most of those guys are about. Oh, there's some good ones out there. Yeah, that's like there's some good doctors. There's some good dentists. Yeah, there's even some good teachers. But you know, if you got a doctor that's feeding you poison, he can still be a good doctor, but he's killing you with the cure. There can be some good teachers out there, really, really good teachers who really love the kids. But in their heart, they really believe that a boy can be born a girl, and they're really good people, but they're teaching you poison. And we have really good people teaching us poison. In fact, the Republican Party is almost no resistance against the evil. None. No resistance to it. So that's what we're left with, right? So what we're left with, how do you establish a kingdom? See, the work is getting dirty here now, folks. It's getting dirtier. But I want to encourage you this. They're more awake now than ever, 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 ever right now, more awake. Do you think that they're going to be, although I saw today, excuse me, that there's another virus coming. Do you think they're going to be as easy for them to influence everybody as before? Do you think that? Huh? You think so? Or do you think people are finally waking up a little bit and understanding what's going on? Which why, in my opinion, it makes them desperate. So, Bridie on, folks. Look, we're getting ready to lose you here in just a minute or so. Coach Dave Live, we do it every morning at CoachDaveLive.com. Oh, you said 4 minutes. I got, I'm sorry, Spencer. I look at my own clock. Okay, I got a little bit. Anyway, those of you at Bridie on TV, we do this every morning at CoachDaveLive.com every morning. And if you want to become part of it, you log on at CoachDaveLive.com and join the huddle, join the queue. And then you can come in here and you can give us your opinion. And look, can I tell you something? We should have respect for our leaders. But you shouldn't have respect for your leaders if they're not leading you in the right direction. And if you go to a church and you're paying tithes or you're doing whatever to your church and you're a faithful member to your church, you have the moral obligation to say to the man in the pulpit privately, dude, you're missing it. Hey, pastor, we need to hear more about this and we need to hear more about this and we need to hear more about this. I have some people that I know are very, very dear to me who are right now church shopping. Why? Because the jellyfish church that they've been going to for years and years and years, they see how jellyfishy it is. And then they go to another one and they try to find another church and they find out it's jellyfishy too. Why? Because they're all about building numbers. Hey, they're building numbers. They ain't building an army, baby. They aren't building an army. Now the army's there, but the Bible says if the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to war? Is there a trumpet blast from the local church? Is your local church? You say, look, friends, just bear with me. I don't care what kind of programs you have. I'd love to walk into a church and walk and meet with a pastor and say, pastors, boy, what kind of programs do you have going on here in your church? What kind of ministries? Oh, we have a homeless ministry and we have missions overseas and we have a young couples ministry and we have a men's ministry and we have a women's ministry and we have a ministry to the poor and we have a ministry to pregnant women and we have a ministry to post-abortive women. And we have a ministry. Y'all, you with me? Is anybody with me? And I want to raise my hand and say, oh, good. Pastor, who's in charge of the ministry to the culture? Who's in charge of ministry to the school board? Who's in charge of ministry to the mayor? Who's in charge of ministry to our elected officials? Oh, who would I see? Who heads that up? And you know the answer, right? They don't have anybody. Why? Because we don't understand kingdom principles. Establishing a kingdom and raising up a standard and teaching our children the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Not only teaching it to our children, but teaching it to our neighbor's children. Because if our neighbor's children don't understand the fear and the admonition of the Lord, then our children are going to be fighting for their lives because that other team is going to do everything it can to destroy my grandchildren. Are you with me here? So we got to get serious about this. And I know this more and more and more and more as I travel around. When I was down in Kentucky last Saturday, again, thanks, Bobby, for doing that. Those people, folks, they're crying for leadership. They're crying for somebody to tell them what to do. They look out their door and they see what's going on. And what's the solution that the local church has? Huh? We'll be out of here soon. It's only just going to get worse. It's what the Bible says. Love your neighbor. Oh, don't fight against that homosexuality. Love those homosexuals. Well, I do. I love those homosexuals, but I hate to tell you this. I love my children more, and I love my Lord more than those people. And I'm not going to make a special group of people an idol. And I'm not going to go around like everybody else, spending all month celebrating what God calls an abomination, church, when the church tells us we're supposed to love them. I'm full of it today, aren't I, friends? I'm full of it. But I'm going to tell you something. We are at a point in American history that if the body of Christ does not arise now, as Ronald Reagan said, we are going to be thrown into 4,000 years of darkness. Oh, you're going to pray there's a rapture. You want to pray there is. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe's anchors in God is Christ is Lord indeed. See you, Bridie on, folks. Stand up and fight. Come on in, Ralph. Somebody say boom! Boom!
Boom.
Kaboom.
Come on in, Ralph. Your hand's up. Come on, Dave, while Ralph figures it out.
All right. Great message this morning, Coach. It reminded me of years ago, I was working with a Polish immigrant. Good guy, right? And he was a devout Catholic. And so one day he hands me a pamphlet. He says, hey, Dave, the church is having a carnival. Maybe you want to come. He knew I was a Christian, right? Maybe you want to come. I looked at the pamphlet, and I said, it had a rock band and a beer tent. And so I said to Paul, I said, really? The church has got a rock band and a beer tent? And he looked at me kind of funny. He says, well, Dave, how else are you going to get people to come? And I kind of chuckled. But like, actually, when I thought about it, the Protestant church is no different. It's build it and they'll come. It says, no, give them what they want and they'll come.
That's right. And we're trying to raise up an army with people who haven't been taught to fight. By the way, before I forget this, they're getting ready to reestablish the draft. Did you guys see that? They're getting ready to reestablish the draft. You want your son going to the Ukraine? Is that what you want? We've been here before. Come on in, Dale.
Yeah, the beauty of the gospel, it doesn't say build it and they will come. It says go. Go to their thing, call out their sin. That's what love is, right? Have I become your enemy by telling you the truth, right? The Bible doesn't say build a booth and they will come. He says, amen. Go ye therefore into all the earth, which includes Congress and everything else along with it.
Dale, come for what? Why? What is the message of the church? You know why I go to Texas Roadhouse? I go there for their great salad, their beef, the big salad and mix. I can't remember what they call it. That's why I go there. Why do you go to church? Why are you going to church? It'd be like going to a football practice. And I go to football practice, and the whole time I'm there, the coach stands in front of me and talks about football. He didn't take me out on the field, how to play. He draws all the different plays. He draws all the different great players that have always been in the game. He talks about great games and coming down to the last minute and all that stuff. And then at the end, I go home. And I come back next week, and he talks about football again. He talks about defense and how you play the 5-3 and how you play the 5-2 and how you play the 5-2 Eagle. And he talks about all the different defenses all throughout college football history. And you go home, and you don't have any idea how to play it because he never took you to the field. And that's exactly what I'm sorry, friends. People go to church to hear the pastor preach. That's why we're in the mess we're in. You're not trained, as Jeff Melwood said, trained in righteousness. How do you get trained in righteousness? How do you learn to overcome evil with good? How do you do it? Well, you have to go do overcome evil with good. You have to go where the evil is and confront it so you can overcome it. So simple question. Ask yourself this question about your church. What are they doing? Salt of the earth, light of the world, what are they doing to impact the culture outside the four walls of your church? What? And that'll show you exactly why we are in the mess we are in. It goes back to what Jeff Klein was talking about earlier. And Jeff, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but it's exactly what Jeff was saying. The church is all inward focused. It's all inward focused on how I can live a better life and how I can be happier and how I can be wealthier and how the devil can't get me, all that kind. I mean, no, there ain't no offensive action. Who would ever go watch a football game where your team never got the ball? They just always played defense. And all they did the whole game was try to keep the other team from scoring. That's modern American Christianity. Boom. Somebody come in. I'm on a rant today. There ain't no reason. There ain't no reason why we're in the mess that we're in. Did you guys see the picture? See if you can find it for me, Spencer. the great big fat, sorry, fat girl that was named Miss, where was she? Where was she? Miss whatever. And then here's
Miss
the
Alabama.
Miss Alabama.
Alabama.
Miss Alabama. Now, friends, here's what goes on. See, there she is, crowned Miss Alabama. Oh, shit. I'm not. Look at that. And everybody else, all the other girls, stand around and applaud. They stand around and applaud. Why? Because they're doing everything they can to change the image of beauty and righteousness. Everything they can. There's a better picture of her. There's one. Throw that one up there. Look at that. Huh? Oh, look at those other girls. Oh, they're all smiling because, oh, they're not as beautiful as she is. How? What is wrong with it? I'm not making fun of fat people. I'm not making fun of fat people. But you tell me that we want our daughters to look like that? You want your daughter to look like that? Morbidly obese? And that's the idol Miss America putting up? Are you kidding me? But see, some of you guys are saying, oh, Coach, you're judgmental and hateful. I'm not hateful. But she ain't a model of what we want our women to look like. Sorry. Now, let me ask you something. Is that a conspiracy, the judges? How could the judges possibly have selected her if it wasn't their intention? Come on in, Rochelle.
Hey, thank you, Coach. Good morning, team. Yeah, I have no comment on that. I would like to talk about what you opened the show with. The clip explaining how we've been deceived and groomed into this culture of corruption where right. We think this is beautiful and healthy. You know, she kind of focused on the man to machine type of thing and yeah. Went back and said, you can be a man, woman, whatever you want. Everything's fluid. It goes back before that when they told us that man came from monkeys and monkey came from a group yep. of cells and yep. a rock that decided they wanted to be. Anyway, that's
they're
the
still
issue.
Teaching in our schools, by the way, Rochelle. They're still teaching that in our schools, even though
that is exactly right, Coach. This is the issue. People, they're not introduced to the real sciences that include electroculture and talk about the biofield. That's where this internet of bodies is coming from. They don't let you know that there is free energy. As a matter of fact, I just learned recently that in 1908 or 1909, something like that, the ether was taken off the periodic table of elements. Okay, we don't want you to look at that science, that woo-woo science. You've got to right. believe in the light bulb is the first thing we ever invented.
Right, right.
And when you said about talking about Satan being the prince and the power of the air, and what he's done is like made us pretend that, hey, he doesn't really exist. This is all, he's not real. But if you think about it, too, they've made us believe that the ether, which is also the power of the air, doesn't right. exist. Locking us out to real science and the truth of this world. And right. if we don't even know where we came from and what we're living on, they're holding all of the information. So until people realize that the governments of this world are lying to them, they're going to continue to love this lie. Isn't it a great lie? You don't yeah. have any accountability. You don't have to do anything for anybody or anyone. You're not accountable to your own creator.
Michelle, none of those girls complained. None of those other girls complained. Are you kidding me? By the way, hey, Spencer, see if you can find out the tranny that was just named a Miss Whatever. Where was that? Both of them just
got Maryland. Miss Maryland. That?
Maryland?
Maryland, sir.
Maryland. A tranny. A tranny is Miss Maryland. And everybody says, oh, those women, they sit around, they smile, and oh, they're so proud they finished. Oh, yeah, those other beautiful girls back there put all their life in the when some training wins it, we're all supposed to applaud. Oh. Folks, are you kidding me? And what,
hey, Coach.
Way, what do we hear from the church? What do we hear from the church? Huh?
Hey, Coach, those beauty pageants are as rigged as a Trump trial.
obviously they are. Joe Allen, come on in.
Fall on the same theory of every child gets a trophy.
Yep, that's it.
Not first, second, third place, but let's coddle to the masses.
So Joseph, I remember, I'll be careful what I say here. I ran into this really nice looking woman who I ended up marrying, and I asked her about, I said, man, are any more that as pretty as you? And she said, well, on the inside. Now, what did that tell me? She wasn't pretty, right? She wasn't pretty. Why do we act like that's pretty? Why do we act like that's pretty? Because it's all the same thing. Lynn Garner, quickly.
If the righteous be righteous, let them be righteous still. The evil be evil still, Jesus said.
Jesus said, and it's our job by being the salt of the earth and the light of the world to call out the truth.
God bless. Amen.
You. See you tomorrow.